think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
You're watching Tip TV Finance with me, Jenny Hammond, and with me in the studio is Connor Campbell from SpreadX. Connor, good to have you with us today. So the dust is settling. Well, there wasn't that much dust anyway from the Italian referendum no vote. So what's happening to the markets? What are we seeing happening to the euro?
Well, you know, it was sort of a bonkers day for the euro yesterday, really. What it plunged to 20-month lows against the dollar and then shut up back to two-week highs. I think it's sort of, that's the kind of trend we've seen with these big macro moments, you know, across 2016, sort of, but in increasing these, you know, smaller timeframes. You know, in the Brexit, you know, that sort of confounded expectations when maybe a week after the actual event, the election, you know, the day of, you know, things were fine by the end of the day. And now you've got with the euro, within hours of the sort of the initial shock of that vote, you know, things completely changing and shooting up by sort of an astonishing amount considering what happened. I think the main difference is the polls were actually right this time. You know, the no vote in Italy, it wasn't unexpected. You know, I think maybe last week investors got a bit too jittery towards the end of the week. You know, then the no vote, everything was confirmed. And then, you know, they sort of mainly just recovered the ground they lost at the end of last week. It'll be interesting now to see if this week they can sort of maintain those levels. I think there is going to be a difference. Yesterday you saw the euro and all the major European indices rising sort of in tandem, which has been somewhat rare, you know, in the last couple of months. That could change this week. You know, you've got the ECB meeting on Thursday. They're expected to, if not increase the size of their monthly package, extend, I think, the time frame of the package by 6 months, I think, taking it beyond, you know, beyond March next year.
Well, let's take a look at the first slide, because that leads us on to that. So we've talked to the key events, Italian referendum reaction, and as you said, the ECB meeting on Thursday.
Exactly. You know, if the ECB does go ahead and extend that programme, you know, the euro could well fall from sort of the two-week highs it hit yesterday. That's what we've been seeing from our clients, at least. Fairly aggressively, as it crossed that 1.07 mark against the dollar, it was just wave after wave of selling. They weren't interested in buying it at that level at all. Obviously, it might be a bit slow in the run-up to Thursday. There's not that much this week to sort of move markets, you know, with the Italian referendum sort of done and dusted, really, you know, unless there is any news around the Italian banking sector. I think that would be the only thing that could interrupt trading heading into Thursday. If Thursday does proceed as analysts expect, then the euro could find itself back towards those 20-month lows. It really depends on, you know, how strong the tone is for the ECB, you know, in terms of setting ahead what it's going to do in the coming months. And, you know, if it does also increase the monthly packet as well as extending the time frame, then that is really going to hurt the euro going forward.
But I think Matteo Renzi's decision to stay on slightly has helped matters, hasn't it?
I think it did calm things a bit. And, you know, it was swift as well, you know, his resignation. There wasn't sort of the umming and ahhing that we saw, you know, following the Brexit.
Yeah.
It was a swift decision that was over and done with within a few hours of the vote being released. It was, you know, some semblance of stability in the instability. I think also the difference is, you know, the Brexit and the US election, they were sort of demolishing the status quo. Even though this was got rid of the, you know, sitting prime minister, it was very much maintaining the, you know, the established way of running things in Italy. So again, whilst it has been compared to the Brexit and the US election, there are enough differences to sort of explain why the markets behaved as they did on Monday.
Absolutely. So let's move on to the next slide.
Dow Jones, not a lot for Dow Jones this week, but next week you've got the Federal Reserve meeting, which at the moment seems to have had pretty much no effect on the Dow Jones at all. You know, before, especially, you know, this time last year, in the run-up to that December rate hike, you know, the Dow Jones was a bit jittery. You know, you saw every time there was a positive bit of data, the dollar was getting a huge boost, but the Dow Jones was shrinking a bit. This time around, it hasn't, you know, it's pretty much locked on next week. And the Dow Jones has shown sort of no real issue with it at all. It's going to be interesting to see as it heads into that you know, December meeting, and, you know, what, 94% chance of a rate hike. Whether it does start to fall, it, on one hand, it'd be a bit bizarre if it did, because it's had so much prior warning that there was going to be a rate hike in December. It'd sort of be baffling if it did fall. At the same time, it's got plenty of room to take a dip. You know, it could lose 300 points and still be, you know, just around above 19,000. You know, that's still capping in a fairly astonishing year for the Dow Jones. So it's still got plenty of room to dip lower. You know, it does seem to... It's just odd, basically. Yeah. From our clients' perspective, they've been really aggressively selling it whenever it's hit a new high, especially yesterday, as it crossed that 19,250 mark. There were no buyers at all from SpreadX. I think they are looking for even the smallest sort of pullback in the eventuality of that rate hike next week. Yeah. Because it is, you know, how much higher can it go if there is a rate hike next week?
Okay, well, let's move on to the next slide. So we're looking at the stocks.
TUI, you know, travel stock, it's fallen 13.5% this year, not great. However, if you sort of put that in the travel sector itself, which has, you know, been a very troubled sector, not only this year, but the year before, and compare it to something like Thomas Cook, it's actually not had that bad a year. Especially its last two updates. In August, it was its half-year figures. They were far better than expected. It stated that whilst it had seen a huge drop in customers going to Turkey, which is the same kind of issue that's plagued Thomas Cook, instead of seeing cancellations, TUI has seen customers switch to places like Jamaica and Mexico. So that's not only, you know, not losing those customers, but seeing a switch in holiday. They're likely going to be more expensive holidays anyway than flying to somewhere like Turkey. Yeah. So it sort of circumnavigated the issues that have plagued Thomas Cook. In September, then, it revealed that summer bookings were up 5% year on year. It raised its guidance for its full year earnings growth from 10% to 12 to 13%. You know, that's very strong figures. I think, in comparison, Thomas Cook's summer bookings fell 1%. So you can really see that it is really the sector leader at the moment. And that's why it's seen a decent enough performance in the last couple of months. I think it's its full-year figures on Thursday. Analysts are expecting around a 5% rise in pre-tax profit to, I think, 929 million. That's really healthy figures. Our clients have been really strongly buying it around that 1040 mark. It does look like, in a troubled sector where there is room for it to sort of recapture the ground it's lost this year, it looks like it's sort of in a strong position heading into 2017. And that's why I think our clients were on board with the stock.
Good. Let's move on to the next slide.
Ocado, you know, fallen 12.2% this year. It's in, again, another troubled sector, the supermarket sector. It's also got the added sort of cloud of Amazon Fresh, which whenever that's been mentioned, you know, whenever Amazon has signed a new deal with Morrisons to supply, you know, its Amazon Fresh and its various other online grocery, you know, divisions now, Ocado's, you know, fallen another leg lower. The interesting thing is, it's sort of more the prospect of Amazon Fresh and what it could be than any material effect at the moment. You know, Amazon Fresh is far from being this big thing at the moment. It's sort of just an additional service added onto its Prime, you know, package. Yeah. So that I don't think there has been any, you know, massive impact on Ocado in terms of its actual sales. During its third quarter, it saw a 15.4% rise in overall sales to, I think, 314 million. You know, that's regardless of what sector you're in, that's a very strong figure. But it's still the threat of what Amazon Fresh could be still dragging it lower. You know, that very strong figure, that was joined by, I think, a near 19% rise in the amount of orders per week. But it still fell 9% on that third quarter report. I think the CEO warned that, you know, margin pressures are still going to be an issue heading into the new year. There's no sign of the supermarket price war really changing in 2017.
But Amazon does seem to really be tackling the sort of food sector, doesn't it? Even announcements today, it's going to start a grocery store in the States where,
exactly,
you know, you don't even have to go to a till. It's just all the technology is what's in your basket.
Despite there being a lack of material impact, I think it is, I can see why Ocado investors are sort of looking at that warily and being, well, if it is going to have an impact on any stock initially, you know, Ocado is going to be the first to fall, really, if Amazon, you know, it doesn't have that massive...
It has 1% of the market at the moment.
Exactly.
But it is growing.
Compared to the size of Amazon, which, you know, the amount of money Amazon can spend on just, you know, easily, you know, taking that 1%. I think this week is its fourth quarter figure. Ocado really needs to sort of reassure investors that at the moment its position in the sector is strong, that it's still seeing growth in the number of orders per week, that, you know, the sales growth. If it can also manage to tick higher, I think in the third quarter the average price per order had fallen around 3.4%. If it can show some kind of growth in that area, that might reassure investors. Yeah. From our clients' perspective, however, they're not. I think the Amazon thing is still a real big issue, and they're selling around that 270 mark despite the overall positive outlook for Ocado's current position, I do think the prospect of that going forwards is still a huge factor for our clients.
Well, let's move on to the last slide quickly, as we don't have much time. Sports Direct. Perfect. We're hearing a lot about Sports Direct.
You know, it's had a ridiculous year. You know, profit warning in January, then the Brexit, awful four-year figures, Mike Ashley in front of MPs, and then you had that September AGM, which saw investors try to oust Chairman Keith Halliwell. That didn't work because Mike Ashley intervened. Then you had their CEO, Dave Forsey, resign. Mike Ashley's now, you know, in charge once again. It's bonkers, you know, it's fallen 46.7%. It's just had an awful year. Mm-hmm. However, our clients are still on board with the stock. I think it's not going to take a lot to impress Sports Direct investors at the moment. It's been such sort of a calamitous year that the slightest bit of good news is going to push it a bit higher. It might, you know, not have that this week. It's half-year figures on Thursday. Analysts are expecting a 25% fall in pre-tax profits, so I think 170 million. That's largely because the company hadn't hedged against, you know, the huge drop in sterling that hasn't affected retailers at the moment, but should affect them next year. However, if that, you know, if God, 24% fall, the slightest thing better is, I think, is going to help lift it higher. So our clients have been buying it quite strongly around that £3 mark.
Super. Connor, thank you so much. Thanks. Connor Campbell there from Spreadex.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.